Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Dr. Caoimhe Hartley, a GP with a special interest in women's health, is starting a short series with us today about what to expect as your child goes through puberty. Now, today we're talking about girls, and Caoimhe is going to outline what to look out for and when you might need to seek medical help. Now, next week, Caoimhe will be back to answer your questions on girls and puberty. So you can text us now, 51551, or email todaycb@rte.ie. In future weeks, we'll talk about boys and we'll have another listener question session then. But Caoimhe, good morning to you firstly.
Hi, good morning Claire, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks very much for doing this for us, because there's no doubt about it, it is a difficult time for children and teenagers to go through this.
Absolutely, wasn't my own favourite stage in life, I have to say. Don't know about you, but I don't look back fondly on it.
Feeling awkward anyway, you know, you're feeling awkward because you're moving from childhood and then all of these other things arrive on top of that.
That's it. Yeah, I think it's important that we talk about it, because it's important to help young girls know what to expect, because then it's less frightening, I think. There's a sense of almost waking up in a body that is just not yours. You wake up in the morning and something, you know, has dramatically changed from day to day, even at times. So important that they have an idea of what to expect and we take some of that fear away.
So what age does the onset of puberty happen for girls?
On average, puberty, or at least the kind of initial changes that we might associate with puberty, can start anywhere between the age of 8 and 13 on average for girls. And interestingly, it actually seems to be trending earlier, kind of globally, this onset of puberty, both in boys and girls, according to research that's come out of the States.
Do we know why that is?
I suppose maybe it's genetic factors, it could be environmental factors like changes in nutrition and diet, but nobody knows for sure.
So the first changes that people will see are physical changes, are they?
Yeah, the first thing that you might notice, or at least for about 80% of girls, the first thing that they might notice is a change in breast development. And I think it's really useful to point out that this can be unilateral, so it can be one-sided initially. And it's really normal to have breast development that happens on one side and not the other. And then over time, that sort of evens out. So it can be a bit frightening initially to think, God, it's very asymmetrical in what's going on, but that can be really normal. And about 50% of girls will have the start of some breast development by around the age of 11.
And pubic hair then, is that a common early sign?
About a fifth of girls will start with pubic hair or axillary hair, which is hair growth under your arms. And we also start to see the sweat glands change as well. So we sweat more and you even have body odour from about that age onwards as well. So pubic hair for a fifth of girls can be the first kind of physical sign that they might see as part of their puberty.
Okay, and then the first period, what is the average age when that begins?
So on average, it's about 12 and a half to 13, but it varies depending on different factors like ethnicity or where you are in the world, what nutrition you've had growing up. So lots of things can influence when we have our first period, but on average, about 12 and a half. And then there's some research suggesting that that is what's coming down. And actually, we might see girls starting to have periods closer to the age of 11 and a half or 12, even over the next few years.
Okay, and then these physical changes, they're prompted by hormonal changes which affect mood and how you feel and bring on all of those emotions that we associate with teenagers.
Yeah, I mean, teenagers get parodied a lot. And, you know, I think of, like, you know, the Kevin from Kevin and Perry, that
yes.
kind of character of, like, you know, having all this attitude and being sort of impulsive. But it's interesting, if you look at how the teenage brain develops, it actually develops almost from the kind of the older part of our brain develops first, and then you see changes kind of coming towards the front of the brain, which is the more kind of the part of our brain that's involved in cognitive like impulse control, and this matures later in this process. So it's hard to juggle those kind of emotional elements and decision making when you're a teenager, because that part of your brain hasn't totally developed yet, but the impulsive part of your brain is active and working. So it explains why some of that behavior, you know, the decision making, the impulsivity, is different in teenagers than it is with adults.
And is there an end point for puberty in girls on average?
Yeah, I mean, what would be kind of typical, although obviously really important to point out that there's a huge amount of variability, like anything with hormones, like with menopause or anything else, it's very individual. It depends on your genetics and lots of different factors. But on average, you'll see the first changes happen, and then within about 2.5 years, you should have periods starting. And within about a year of that, we would see regular periods happening. So the whole process is about 2 to 3 years maybe in total on average.
Okay, well, let's go through each of those stages of puberty individually, Caoimhe.
Sure.
When it comes to breast development, firstly, in young girls, what concerns are parents approaching you with?
I suppose the one thing that has come up a few times is this, the kind of asymmetry. So, you know, knowing that it's normal to kind of have one breast develop before the other, that can be normal. Or even sort of having breast development at a very young age can happen as well. And this can be, you know, frightening or people might wonder, is this normal? But one thing I think for young girls themselves is if they are the first in their class to have breast development, or if they have, you know, large breasts at a very young age, it can create an awful lot of self-consciousness. They can be very aware of it, and it can create issues with self-esteem and how they feel about themselves and how they carry themselves. So important to talk about it, to normalize it, and to help your daughter if she is going through something like that in terms of getting her a good bra that fits properly and talking about kind of normal and how bodies change in general with pregnancy and aging and all that kind of thing.
Okay, and for some girls it can be quite traumatic, and I'm thinking about the hair growth, totally normal, but for some teenagers it's really unsettling.
Yeah, I think we're a weird society, really, the way we kind of look at hair growth in women. There seems to be this opinion that women shouldn't really have hair anywhere except on their heads and their eyebrows, maybe, and that's it. And it's created this attitude, about, like I've seen it myself in younger girls or younger patients, where they think any hair growth on their legs or anywhere else is abnormal. So that's not true. So when we're talking about hirsutism, which is excessive growth of hair, usually we're talking about hair that's growing in a more kind of male pattern, so maybe on the face or on the jawline or around the nipples or on the belly button. So that would be hair that would be more typical of a kind of what's called androgen-dependent pattern, so kind of more testosterone-related hair growth. But other hair growth, like pubic hair under your arms, hair in your legs, hair in, you know, hair on your arms, hair anywhere else, that's just normal hair growth, but obviously creates an awful lot of self-consciousness, and it adds to that awkwardness that we've all experienced as teenagers.
Yeah, because there's no doubt about it, the culture is, at the moment, the mainstream culture, that hair shouldn't be present.
I don't know why that is. Like, even pubic hair has a role. Like, it's potentially protective. It protects us from infections. It's been shown to reduce the incidence of some types of sexually transmitted diseases. So it has a role. Pubic hair is not a bad thing. It's, you know, it has a role. It has a purpose.
I want to talk to you in more detail. I know we've touched on this, starting your period, because that's what most people associate with puberty and girls. The average age then for our girls to start having periods is around the, is it 12 to 13 age?
Yeah,
that what you
exactly,
said earlier?
Yeah.
But for
yeah.
some, it'll be much younger. And I would imagine that's quite distressing.
It can be, especially if, you know, if they haven't, I suppose, had not a heads up, but if that discussion hasn't happened and they're not expecting us, it can be really distressing. And it's not, I mean, we've all been there. It's not, you know, the nicest experience, and you get caught out. There's a whole kind of public, you know, I could be out in school and I could get a period then. And so that's why I think talking to young girls about this is so important, and explaining what is normal, you know, how to prepare for it, what they should be carrying in their bag, and maybe doing that from an earlier age than you might expect. So doing it from kind of 7 or 8 when they might, you know, they potentially get an early period around that time, and having them prepared. And then even talking about what's normal in terms of cycle length. So I think we all have it in our heads, we should have a perfect 28-day cycle, but that doesn't happen for most people.
Yeah, I'm just wondering about having that conversation with a 7 or 8-year-old. I mean, how do you do that without scaring them?
Yeah, and I'm not sort of, I don't think we need to kind of sit down and have a big, you know, we're having the talk type thing.
Yes.
But more about being, it's about being askable, like be there, be available. Talk about sort of in general how bodies change as we get older, and you know, maybe having, if you have pads or tampons or, you know, and they're there, and the child is asking about them, to not make it something taboo and scary. So you're really kind of setting, you might be setting the tone, I guess, for the conversation, but they set the questions maybe at that age.
So, okay, so
allowing them to lead what, you know, the information they feel they need at that
okay,
point.
Okay, without having, as you say, the big talk, which can be intimidating at that age. What
Absolutely.
About girls, Caoimhe, who might be 14 or 15 and still haven't had their first period? When do you get to the stage where you need to go and talk to your GP about that?
Yeah, so the two ends of the spectrum, so early, like, or precocious puberty, so early puberty would be defined as having, if you have sort of puberty changes that happen before the age of 8, that's, it's unusual, like it's really rare, maybe 1 in in about 10,000 girls, but it's a lot more common in girls than it is in boys. And it's usually down to nothing. It's usually just a kind of environmental or genetic factor. And then late puberty or delayed puberty would be having no periods by the time they get to the age of 16, or having no puberty changes at all, no physical signs of puberty at all by the age of 13. Or if they've had some breast development and they have these other signs like pubic hair, and then no period happens for more than 2 years after that. And so that's just worth a trip to the GP. It's a conversation about, you know, does this require any further investigation, or is it more a watch and wait approach?
Okay, but the expectation shouldn't be that there will be a regular cycle in place from the get-go.
Yeah, it can take about 6 to 9 months for ovulation to become a more regular event. So, in the first kind of 12 to 18 months, it can be very normal to have irregular periods. So maybe a couple that are close together, and then maybe you get a big gap for a few months. And again, sort of similar to menopause, where we're seeing ovulation start to happen very sporadically and erratically, and that creates these kind of periods that become irregular. The same is happening in puberty. So it would take about a year to 2 years to have an actual kind of regular 21 to 35 day cycle, so a period on average once a month. And it's helpful to talk about, you know, what to expect, to talk about pain and what, you know, what your daughter can do if she is having some crampy pain with her periods, what she could take. And in terms of like what amount of blood loss is normal and what's heavy bleeding and what isn't heavy bleeding, and talking through that maybe when she actually has her period, so that she's a good sign of, or a good idea of what is normal.
So then, Caoimhe, a couple of the problems that people might experience. How likely is it that a teenage girl will experience something like polycystic ovarian syndrome? How common is that?
So PCOS is polycystic ovarian syndrome is the most common hormone disorder in women of a reproductive age. So it's about 15 to 20% of the female population, which is really, really high if you think sort of one in five women out there. And we're probably under-diagnosing it, so it may even be more. So it's really common, and generally women might find, it varies from person to person how they express that polycystic ovarian syndrome, but they may have some high levels of testosterone, which can cause excess facial hair, body hair, or even acne. They might find that their periods are very irregular. So maybe a couple of years from their first period, but their periods are still not happening with any sort of regularity. Maybe less than 80 years, usually the definition that we look for. So there are things to look out for. And again, maybe just warrants a trip down to the GP for a chat.
Okay, because there are various things you can do in relation to treating the symptoms.
Yeah, it depends on what the symptoms are. So with periods that are very, very irregular, we can often talk about something like using the contraceptive pill to create a more sort of regular pattern. And that can be a really useful intervention for heavy and painful periods, even for younger girls as well. So it's worth having that chat.
Okay, Caoimhe, we're going to leave it there, but I can tell you we're getting an awful lot of questions in, which is great, because you're coming back to us next week to answer those questions on girls in puberty. And then the following week, we'll come back and talk about the boys. Yes,
yeah.
So we'll get to those questions next week. And I'm asking people, if you still have questions, do get them into us today, cb@rte.ie. Dr. Caoimhe Hartley from the Menopause Health Clinic in Dublin will be back with us next week for more.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.